Today's readings from Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Thanks, Margaret. I'm just going to invite Connie and Paul up, and we're going to pray for them both. Father God, we thank you for Paul and Connie. We thank you for their relationship with you. And Lord, now I pray that as they speak, you would speak. Father God, that the preparation that they have put in, their discernment of the word, would be seen. And Lord, that they would know your truth as they speak. And that we would have ears to hear and hearts open to listen. Amen.
Good morning. A year ago today, I don't know if you remember who was preaching. It was a year ago today that I preached with a view here at Bourne Baptist Church. And it has been a year full of joy being with you. And thank you for receiving Wilma and I. And we do count it a privilege to be here. We wanted to actually have some of our young people come and preach and to be able to support Nick and I in the ministry of preaching. And I want to say thank you to Comini for helping me understand. And certainly this passage, it is important to have a female perspective on the word of God. So thank you very much. Speaking about wives and husbands when your wife is in the congregation is slightly unnerving. Those of you who are husbands should know this, and especially you've got a wife who is at least your equal, which she is. So, yes, we are going to be talking about marriage, but we are also going to be talking about men and women. This is quite important because you know what male and female actually show. What does male and female together show? What's the Bible say? The image of God. Thank you. I heard it just about. We together are the image of God. So actually, wives and husbands, illustration, you've heard the reading of Christ and the church, but also of God himself we see in men and women together. I've been married 26 years. We have been married 26 years, which is quite a coincidence, actually. Got married on the 4th of September 1993. Now, you should know why I get confused, because it's not the 3rd of September 1994, as we got wrong one time, both of us. But we've been married 26 years. And I guess this is what people want. Wedded bliss, and they all lived happily ever after. Isn't that what people want? We are natural romantics as human beings. We want to have that wedded bliss. But often it's more like this, isn't it? You're not listening to me. You know, the wife says, will you do the dishes? And you say, yeah, 35. No, you're not listening. Some people, actually see, and you'll see this today, certainly young people will really appreciate this, as marriage as institutionalized violence. It is an institution that is by nature violent, and normally violent against the woman rather than against the man, although there are incidences of domestic abuse which happen. It's not normally violent, but it could be the silent treatment. We are telling you that we are upset with you by not talking to you. In Spanish, the word for wife is esposa, esposas. But it also means handcuffs. Seriously, that is true. And she's left. She could tell. I've forgotten her name now. Catalina could tell you. Esposas are is wife and handcuff. Quite incredible. It's institutionalized in a language. So what's the answer? Do we have an alpha husband, the alpha male, strong man, yeah, and the little wife, or do we have the alpha wife, the alpha female? I just love this picture. Kind of. Do you mind? Or do we have a Christian understanding? Is this really the Christian approach? Alpha husband, an obedient wife. I love it. You should see the faces up there going, oh my word, I'm not reading that book. No, don't, please, don't. But we have a bit of a crisis in marriage, not only because there are breakdowns in marriage, which there are, and we see it, but because I don't think we actually know today, and this is our contemporary context, how to be men and women in relationship. And I think, again, the young people will appreciate this. It's very difficult. How am I supposed to be? If I'm not going to be the alpha male, what am I, for goodness sake? If I'm going to be a strong woman, you know, how am I going to be? Am I going to be aggressive? What's the answer here? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us this answer. Now, you may notice, if you look in various Bible translations, you will see that verse 21 is put in the previous section of the Bible, of the passage. It's very common to have verse 21. But verse 21 introduces this whole of our three series that we're doing. And it says, submit to one another in reverence to Christ. That's it. So we're going to look at three sets of relationships over these next 3 weeks. And the basis of all of that is submit to one another. And really, I've gone back to verses 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the ways of love. That word love is the word agape. And agape is sacrificial love. It has little or nothing to do with what you feel and little or nothing to do with what the other person's like. It is about sacrificial love. And it's almost always in the context, as it is here, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's the basis of our relationships. And I've used this term household code. I'm going to quote a philosopher in a minute called Aristotle. You'd have heard of Aristotle. And he talked about the household code, husbands and wives, parents and children. This is a book called You Think You've Got It Bad, about Greek children having it really bad, and masters and slaves. Okay, and this is Aristotle's household code. The first one mentioned is always the superior, and the second one mentioned is always the inferior. So it's husbands, wives, parents, children, masters, slaves. This is what Aristotle said. Of household management, we have seen that there are three parts. One is the rule of the master over slaves, another of a father, and a third of a husband. A husband and father rules over the wife and children. Now, I want you to really be very discerning in this. This is Paul is writing into this world, Okay? That is the world he's writing into. Women in the ancient world had little or no rights. Of course, aristocratic women, they could own property, they could buy, they could sell slaves. But the average woman had no rights. She was property. We even have it today. Lee, in the marriage ceremony yesterday, did they say, who gives this woman to this man? Yes, the dad who owned the girl now gives the woman to the man who now owns the woman. Property. Women were property. They had no rights and they were seen as chattels. That's a posh word for belongings. No rights were not respected. In fact, many aristocratic men did not believe that women were capable of love. So they took young male lovers. Because women weren't capable of actually having a real loving relationship. So Paul's writing into this. Here's our old Aristotle again. Although there may be exceptions to the order of nature, the male is by nature fitter for command than the female, just as the older and fully grown is superior to the younger and more immature. So that's the context. That's what Paul is addressing in Ephesus and probably in several other towns around Ephesus. That's his context. So anything that you hear now is actually in that light. So Paul has the household code. Notice he has wives. He addresses wives and husbands. Then children and parents. And then slaves and masters. He just flips it over from what Aristotle had. The superior first, the inferior second. So Paul flips it completely the other way. And that's the start of the revolution. Now, Connie is going to come and share with us some points from this passage. So thank you, Connie.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Connie. And if you don't know me, I've been coming here for 4 years now. So Paul asked me a couple of weeks ago if I would like to speak on this passage. And I have to be honest, the feminist side reacted in me hugely into two words in particular, submit and head. I felt quite angry and apprehensive as to how I could possibly explain this verse to the church when it made me feel such a negative way. So I decided to look deeper into it with the help of Paul. So I started with one of the words that I disagreed with, which was head. When I began looking into the Greek time and language, I learned that head has a very different meaning at the time this passage was written than to what it does now. In the time the passage was written, people had no understanding that the head controlled the body. They didn't understand at that time about the brain being inside the head and so controlling the body. It was not seen as a controlling or authoritative word. Instead, they saw the head as the source, not a leader or someone of higher authority as I have believed. It was a source in the sense of the head of a river or fountainhead. This gives a completely different idea to that part of the passage. A husband being a head to his wife does not mean that he gets to boss her around. It means that he is meant to strengthen her, being his wife's source of life and sacrificing his own life for hers. This is God giving example of how women are meant to be treated and loved by their husbands, not overpowered. They are meant to be an advocate for each other. The second word that didn't sit right with me was the word submit. When looking into this passage and other people's viewpoints, people's opinions are very split. I decided to stop looking so much at what other people thought and what I understood, because although it's 2019, most of what I read was very much women must obey women, which shocked me and upset me a little bit. But the first thing I realized was that the word submit does not actually appear in the original version in verse 22. It assumes from verse 21 and said, wives yourselves to your own husbands. This means that the woman has a choice whether she submits or not. Her choice is not taken from her and she is not forced into anything. She still has free will to choose whether she wants to be committed into a relationship. Also, the term is to your own husbands, not to anybody else's husband, but to your own, and certainly is not women submit to men. Thirdly, the submission is mutual. The husband must also submit to his wife in love. therefore making it more of a respect for each other, which is not one-sided. Further down the passage, in verse 25, it is written that a man must love his wife as Christ loved his church. How did Christ love the church? By submitting his will and comfort for the good of the church. Chapter 5, verses 2 says, he gave himself up for the church as a sacrifice. He died for the church. If a husband loves his wife as much as he is commanded to in this passage, he would never want to control or overpower his wife. He would only want what is best for her. When submitting each other, it means to put the other first, which goes both ways. A wife should think about her husband's feelings before her own, and vice versa. This is true mutual submission. These instructions are given with Christ as the measure, with the husband loving his wife as much as he loves Christ, the wife respecting her husband in the same way she respects Christ. Comparing the love and respect the couple must have for one another to the most important things in their lives shows the type of committed, loving, and healthy relationship that God wants to see. This type of relationship would not be overpowering, controlling, or manipulative. Instead, it should be loving, supportive, and equal to be pleasing to God. While initially reading this, I understood the woman to be the lesser in the relationship. I looked at how a husband is told to love her. He must love her as Christ loves the church, as much as he loves himself, as much as his own life, and enough for him to give his life for her. As I said earlier, with a love as strong as this, nothing would be asked or expected from the wife that she wouldn't be happy doing, so this submission would be mutual and agreeable by her. This clarifies what chapter 5, verses 1 to 2 say. Imitate God in Christ. Live sacrificial lives through mutual submission, respect, and love. I will now hand back to Paul, who will finish up.
You never applaud me. Brilliant. Thank you, Connie. Now, we talked about this a great deal. We met up and we chatted about it. I gave a few hints about what the Greek actually does say about headship and submit. But this is Connie's work, and she's done a fantastic job, and it really supports me in actually preaching the sermon as well. So this is what God wants for us today, okay? It's not like in the Greek world, there's the man, there's the woman, but it is mutual submission. So the wife submits to the husband in respect. The husband submits to the wife in love. The child submits to the parents in obedience. The parent submits to the child in not exasperating them. I won't take your. And the slave submits to the master by working for God, and the master submits to the slave by treating the slave as if he was Christ. This is mutual submission. Now, just think back to when I was just talking about the context. Just think, when Paul comes in and says, husbands, love your wives as our sacrificial God loved his church, they must have gone, you are bonkers, you are off your head, whatever. You're nuts, you can't say that. That was revolutionary back then, and it's as revolutionary today. When you think about our context and the context of relationships, the way that often men in the public eye see themselves as privileged and have a right over women, Harvey Weinstein comes to mind, and others. Paul comes in and says, you have got to love your wife, not as your property, but as your body. That's a revolution. And if we could, as Christians, have that. I've got two pictures up there. One is of Christ washing his disciples' feet, which the lowest slave got that nice job to do. That's our God. Now, if we don't like that, you know, I suggest you go to another saviour, because our saviour is the one who washed the feet of his disciples, who commanded we as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church and as our own bodies, and wives to respect their husbands, not because they deserve it, because I don't, but because of Christ. It is he who is the central agent here. You will see in all of this, Christ is the measure. And the cross, of course, shows Christ's ultimate submission to the church, as Connie said. Now, what does it mean like in practice? I think it could. You know me. I'm sort of, I like this sort of dashing, great, expressions of love. This sort of big things, knight in shining armor on a white horse. Sort of thing. Yeah, but it's really in the smallest things. I have some friends who went shopping and they forgot to buy apples. So they went and did other work, things that they were going to buy. Now, she likes red apples, he likes green apples. So he bought red apples and she bought green apples. This is a tiny little thing, but those are the things that demonstrate love and submission to the other. And we, in that marriage relationship, this is why Paul talks about a man shall leave his wife and be joined to, leave his wife, dear me, leave his parents and go to his wife and the two shall become one. It reminds me of Galatians 3. There is no Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, we are all one in Christ. And this to me just blows my mind that Paul in the first century would be telling the Ephesians this, because it is based wholly upon love. This is the English Standard Version. Now, I was talking about English Standard Version. Ralph, wasn't it? We're talking about the English Standard Version. I love this version of Romans 12:10 in the ESV. Love one another with brotherly affection. That's fraternal love. Outdo one another in showing honour. Okay, so if you are husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, in relationship, then outdo the other in honouring them. Husbands, outdo your wife in honouring her. Wives, outdo your husbands in honouring him. It's a competition to see who can love more. And when you've won, you're not allowed to boast. I didn't have that in the script, by the way. Yes, so outdoing one another. This is the basis of all our relationships, but especially that marriage relationship in its intimacy, which is to outdo one another in loving them. So I'm not going to lose this battle, Wilma. I shall honour you more than you can honour me. She deserves it more than I do, to be honest. So, brothers and sisters, this is our challenge, especially husbands and wives, not to act like the world acts, with the alpha male trying to outdo the alpha female in power. Good grief, I just appeared. But to outdo them in honour, in love, in care. Let's pray together. Father, this is a massive challenge that you've given us. And to demonstrate to the world what good relationships look like. Lord, we see so many times people wanting to outdo each other in sport, in politics, in every aspect of life. But we don't often see people trying to outdo each other in honour and in love. And Lord, when we look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did, we see that we can never outdo him. We thank you for him and for the example he is to men and women of what it is to love. Help us, Lord, through your Spirit, to outdo one another in love and honour. Amen.